When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's the frustrating part if I'm De'Aaron Fox a little bit. And then we spoke for like an hour. What are you drinking over there? What is that, coffee? Iced coffee? What is that?
A little espresso.
Oh, I see. Look, come on, man. Dudes ain't playing, man.
Anytime you get a drink that's layered with multiple colors, that's pretty fire. That's pretty fire right there.
Yeah, yeah. I see him, man. I see him champagneing and campaigning with his Nespresso. That's what he's doing. But so, you know, we spent like an hour talking about Fox, you know, being this leader and this is the way of the land and heavy is the head that wears the crown, all this other stuff. But the things that we talk about, like we talk about and even Mike Brown talk about, like, hey, like our team is struggling defensively. Like, you got to be the one that anchors all this. And if I'm De'Aaron Fox, I'm like, I get you, coach. But people that are looked at as being higher than me in the pantheon of current NBA players, your Dame Lillard's, Lucas, Jalen Brunson, Ja Morant, I promise you, none of their coaches are asking them to do that. And everything is fine. Ja don't play, no guy don't play, no defense, none. And they are able to just float around on offense and be aggressive and do all this other stuff and then hide and guard the weakest shooter in the corner. And it's like, yeah. man, come on, man, like, I'm listening. I hear you, coach. I'm trying to take on all the responsibility I can. But in your opinion, Deuce, why do those guys seem to get a pass for that and De'Aaron's asked to do more?
I mean, it's a roster construction issue. Like Dame, well, he's got Giannis and Lopez behind him, right? You can get away with some stuff. They have some more length, you know. Same with Memphis. They've got wings. They've got size that maybe you can get away with that. This team doesn't have that. They don't have Sabonis. Love the guy. He plays hard. I loved how he played against Jokic the other night. He's not blocking shots. He's got like a 6'10 wingspan. His arms are not long at all. And then your wing situation, as we talked about, Keegan Murray is like your wing, right? Like, that's it. So the margin of error for this team is so slim. And I think that's why we're having all these conversations. Oh, can Fox do this? Can this do this? What about the offense late in game? Oh, lean into this offense or defense, whatever, is because it's just how the roster is like constructed. And so, yeah, he's asked to do a lot, but I think he's capable of it. I still think he's an underrated player. And I know I've heard you say this before, Kenny, like I do agree with you. I think he's probably the best two-way point guard in the league, right? With the amount of pressure, or one of the best when it comes to his ability to go get buckets, to put pressure on the defense, and then also defend on the other end and defend multiple positions. Like you said, they're not hiding him, right? He is defending some of the best guys. But yeah, it's kind of unfortunate for him. I mean, he probably needs some help to take some pressure off of him too, so he's not relied upon to do so much. Because I think he gets a lot of the blame sometimes. Like all of a sudden he'll be inefficient for a stretch. And it's like, oh, he's coasting. It's like, no, he's just missing shots, and he's still competing defensively, but he's asked to do a ton. We've said the same thing about Keegan Murray, right? Like Keegan this year, for the most part, hasn't been able to knock down shots consistently. But he's being asked to play 40 minutes a night, defend multiple positions, crash. Oh, and we need you to hit open shots. Sure, it'd be nice if you had another wing so the guy could play, like, I don't know, 33, 34 minutes a night. And maybe he doesn't have to take on the responsibility of guarding some of the best guys in the league.
Are you buying into the Twitter conversation about De'Aaron is starting to work his way out of Sacramento?
No. I think...
Because this is your boy. He's been to your house. Like, the whole family
that is
has been
boy.
Over.
That we is can't, his boy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How many times have you watched Poppy? Have you babysat Poppy?
Uncle Deuce.
Uncle...
All I know is after we did that podcast and he retweeted it, he's like, just friends hanging out. I'm like... Friends, I don't have your number. Okay, cool. If you want to call me your friend, I think he's keeping his options open. Why would he sign the extension now? Of course, he's.
It makes zero financial sense to sign the extension before next year.
Right, and so like some of the comments he made to Draymond. I mean, he made those same comments to Sam Amick of the Athletic like before the season too. I mean, how many times do you have the opportunity to potentially be a free agent? You want to kind of control your destiny a little bit. And so if he wants to put a little pressure on them, good. Yeah. And there's also pressure on him to perform too, because at this point he's not going to be a super max guy. Like the team's not winning enough. And you know, if he's inconsistent, it's just not, you're not going to be an all NBA guy.
Yeah. Some of the other discourse going on with this team that, I don't know. I don't subscribe to, and I'm kind of frustrated by. But it's this notion that DeMar DeRozan is kind of like the problem. You know, there's the ball sticking to him and the offense, and he doesn't do much. Maybe we should think about bringing him off the bench. I mean, do you subscribe to any of that? You know, I think DeMar has been perfectly fine to start the season, but do you think any of that is valid?
No, I don't get why you would bring him off the bench. I think early in the season, it definitely, like, it felt clunky at times. Like, he wasn't, like, adapting to the style of play, you know, and, like, the Kings weren't used to slowing it down and playing ISO ball with him. But I think they figured it out. I think he's playing with better pace. I think they're picking the spots to set him up in isolation situations as opposed to him bringing up the ball. I think that's the other benefit with Monk in the starting lineup is let Monk or Fox bring up the ball and initiate. And, like, DeMar, I felt like, was doing that more so. In the early stages of the season, I think watching DeMar, the problem is the Kings have so many weaknesses. You don't look at DeMar as the one that was solving all their weaknesses, but one of their weaknesses was having another guy that can go get you a bucket. And I think him being out there scoring 20 every single night for the most part, it just makes the Kings so much more difficult to defend offensively. Sabonis is having the most efficient year of his career. I think that, in large part, is because you add someone like DeMar on the floor too. There's just so many weapons that the Sacramento Kings have. They make it, it's really challenging to guard, but you know, it's like, I don't know how they get better, you know, with trades. It's, you don't think you're moving DeMar. You're not moving Fox. You're not moving Sabonis. You don't want to move Monk. You don't want to move Keegan. Like there's only so many guys you can move. And so, like, I don't know. I just think they're in a tough spot.
Well, Deuce, it's like you said, and we kind of said this yesterday, and we all kind of agree, like, you want to get some players in there, right? Like, you want a Cam Johnson or a Finney Smith, but how do you do that without giving up somebody? Because that's – the depth is the issue. Like, you want to just add, and if you were able to absorb contract or just give draft picks and keep Herter or Lyles, like, that would be ideal. But how do you make a trade – for somebody without giving up one of the players. So that's the conundrum they're kind of in. I may have Devin Carter on the way back. That may help.
I'm just like, where does he fit in too? You know, you're just trying to, all right, so Keon not playing, is Herter, like they have to clean it up. It's just not balanced. I think we've all talked about that too. Like I'm sure Devin may be able to help. And in this league, you need athleticism. You need length. And I don't think the Kings have a ton of that on this team, so I think that will help. I don't know. It's so funny. I get in these spots during the season, these dark spots where I go, okay, I feel like I'm desperate. And all of a sudden, I'm like, okay. All of a sudden, I'm like, Kyle Kuzma, man. I know he's having a down year.
Well,
man,
don't say Kyle makes you. It's desperate when you go to Kyle Kuzma. I think you could help.
I've just seen him play this year. It looks awful. He has he's having the worst of his career.
Yeah, he's been bad this year. Well, he's been down this
But then I'm looking, like you were just talking, I'm like, ooh, maybe he's cheap.
There you go.
You know, maybe. Could you get Kuzma and Valanciunas?
Mm. Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Oh, Deuce is
I,
I'm getting here.
I just.
I don't know how you get one of them. Deuce somehow landed both of them.
Kuzma's deal goes down. Yeah, yep. I mean, I feel like we all have Kuzma's contract memorized by now.
Oh, yeah.
But you look at his side, I'm like, okay, could he just buy in here? Like, he did the Washington thing. There's no way he's having fun right now. Did he come to a winning situation, get up and down the floor? There's not a ton of pressure on him to come in and score 20 a game. If you get buy-in and be like, hey, Kuz, we just need you to be our defensive, weak side rim protector, get up and down the floor. We'll throw you lobs, get you dunks, man that second unit. We'll get you going with Fox in that second unit.
I'm all for it. You ain't got to convince me. I'm all for it. Let's take a chance.
Well, that's the type of move that I think could be, like, in terms of cost. I don't think it's as expensive as it was last year, where Cam Johnson is, like, playing out of his mind right now. He's staying on the floor. You're like, okay. Like, the Nets are going to ask for, like, 7 first-round picks. And then it's like, are you really better at that point? You know, it's just that's the one. And then Dorian Finney-Smith will cost you less. But, you know, I think a lot of people like him.
He's the guy. He's the guy. He fits the profile. He's not going to be as expensive.
Dorian Finney-Smith?
Yeah, he's not going to be as expensive. He can help you in a major way. He can shoot. He can defend. He's a traditional 3-and-D guy. He's the guy.
And he's going to buy in. He's going to buy into his role. Like, the Kings don't need someone that can that's going to score 20 a game. They need someone that's capable of knocking down some shots when open and then playing defense.
We missed you, Deuce. I feel bad that you're sitting in your car and you got a busy day ahead. So we're going to let you go prepare for your multiple jobs that you have to execute tonight.
I appreciate you guys. I missed you guys.
You the man, dude. I'm going to say what's up to you if I see you out there tonight, man. So it was good.
All right, man. Yeah. Come say hi. You'll probably be courtside, so I'll try to find a way to get
Watch out for the security, like the hidden security.
I just said I was going to come say what's up, so that means I'm in the same area.
Can you tell your security guard first so Deuce doesn't get shot trying to do his job?
Don't listen to this guy.
This guy was in the Row 1 Club, like, with Filet Mignon. He had, like... It was crazy.
Come on, man. You guys don't listen to the media, man. I'm an everyday man just like you guys.
You had everything. You had seafood. It was like stacked plates.
Well, look, last time we went to our Tribal Chiefs backstage, they had gumbo back there. It was bomb, too.
Oh, man.
That was some good stuff.
We'll be there Sunday.
Yeah, that was some living good stuff. The Kenny life is nice, man.
It's crazy. It's crazy, man. Most people can only imagine. I'm lucky. I get to tag along every once in a while.
Yeah.
But most people don't. They can't imagine.
I'll try to talk to security and get to you, man.
There you go. Appreciate
all right,
you, Deuce.
All right, see you guys.
Deuce Mason doing TV tonight, of course, the Deuce and Mo podcast as well, that airs every single. I assume Morgan is just going to tap in from Orlando.
Yeah.
They do not miss episodes,
no.
Even when Kings.
That was frustrating, but you got to do it.
Watch it. What was funny is I think it was I should have said this to him. The Denver game, he had because I think Deuce and I are similar in a lot of aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And it was after the Denver game, and I didn't even notice it. Like, I put it up, and they're maybe 4 minutes into the podcast.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like the actual podcast, they have the pre-show and then the pod. And he noticed, I think someone in the chat pointed it out, that the score was wrong. He had the Kings winning. He obviously knew the Kings, but the graphic said Kings 130, Denver 129. And I could see Deuce trying to calm himself down as he realized he got that wrong. And like that, I was like, oh, me and Deuce, we're like... Me and Deuce are the same person.
That was a tough night for everybody.
Yeah, no one was thinking clearly that night.
No.
And I don't think Trista was thinking clearly with that trade proposal she had yesterday. Mm. I mentioned this a little bit ago. I've got some thoughts on that. Plus, we talked to Ice Cube last night.
Yeah.
And we are going to run. We talked to Ice Cube on video last night, and you're going to hear and see that conversation in its entirety, and it was a good one. You'll hear what the KSFM audience won't hear coming up later on this hour on Sacramento's number one for hip-hop and R&B, Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. All right, man. We're here. Our conversation with Ice Cube coming up here right near the top of the hour. Then Matt George coming up to help us get us ready for Kings and Lakers tonight, G1C.
Remind me, I don't have anything to write down with, but remind me, Kings, Lakers at the Golden 1 Center. I had something to say about that, but that can hold on for just a second because you've been trying to tell us for about an hour what you did not like about a girl TK's trade proposal the other day, and my thoughts about it too. Or, yeah, whatever. Go ahead. I want to know. I'm interested.
Yeah, I think you're both stupid. So, the crux of the idea is Trista said, I've got the perfect player for the Sacramento Kings, and she said it's going to hurt. She said it's Jeremy Grant, but you've got to trade Keegan Murray, and I think it was Kevin and Trey, if I remember.
Yep.
It's like, all right, that's cute. That decimates the Sacramento Kings. Like, they can't do that. Like, you need guys in return, and it's not the bum who doesn't play, with all due respect to the bum who doesn't play. Like, you need... That's not going to work. That's not what this team needs to get better. I'm with Deuce in the idea that you need someone to add to Keegan Murray. Then I directed my frustration towards you.
What'd I do? Well, because I agreed with you the entire time.
I don't think that you did, because you posed the old famous Kenny Caraway question, will Keegan Murray ever be better than Jeremy Grant? And I think which, by the way, I don't think that question matters. The question is Keegan Murray better than Jeremy Grant now, and what Jeremy Grant can be for Sacramento? And the question, I think, is yes. And I also think Keegan Murray can be better than Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant, to me, and I'll listen to anyone's retort. I know he had good years in Detroit. It was Detroit. Jeremy Grant, to me, was incredible in Oklahoma City. And I think there was a little bit with a little bit of overlap with Carmelo. And if I remember correctly, the famous, who, me? They want to move me to the bench? That was because Jeremy Grant. That was the question the reporter posed, because Jeremy Grant was playing so well. That's where I feel like he was really at the peak. And again, I am a Carmelo Anthony fan. I do think that Oklahoma City Thunder team would have been better if Jeremy Grant had stayed in the starting lineup and Carmelo Anthony had been coming off the bench. Like, he was really, really good at the time. To me, that was the peak of his powers. That was like, this is Jeremy Grant at his peak. He's a very, very, very good player and he's helping a team win. They went a different direction. Things kind of went the way that they went. Jeremy Grant obviously moves on, and he puts up numbers in different places that he goes. In terms of what he could be for Sacramento right now, I don't think that Jeremy Grant would be a 20-point-per-game player in Sacramento right now. I think he would essentially be what Keegan Murray is, except more expensive and older. This isn't a criticism of Jeremy Grant. I am a Jeremy Grant fan. It goes back to the question that I asked you, or maybe asked both of you. I can't remember. But is the idea of trading Keegan, Kevin, and Trey a match of talent or a match of salary? And it's clearly a match of salary. You don't need to trade all three of those players to match Jeremy Grant's talent. And that's the question I think we need to start asking ourselves when we evaluate these trade proposals. Are we trading three players to match a player's contract or to match their talent? Because if it's not to match their talent, throw this thing out the window. It doesn't work. Because you're putting your team at a greater deficit than you were before the deal.
Well, that, okay.
I didn't like it. Now I hate it. And I'm low-key mad at both of you.
Well, don't be mad at me. I don't think, I think today, Jeremy Grant is a better player than Keegan Murray.
I don't know that he is.
Jeremy Grant is
Jeremy Grant, I'll use your old Mikal Bridges question.
Uh-huh.
Jeremy Grant on the Sacramento Kings. He's better than Keegan Murray?
This year, yes.
Okay.
He's a better shooter than Keegan has been this year.
Okay.
And there's the jury. I want to see Keegan do it a little bit more consistently to believe that he's that 41% three-point shooter we saw his rookie year. You know what I mean? I think he is a good three-point shooter. I think he's well above what he's shown so far this year. But I'm looking at Jeremy Grant, you know, in his career as a three-point shooter. We got 38, 40, 40, 35, 35, 38, 39. Like, I think Jeremy Grant is a better three-point shooter than Keegan Murray right now. Or we don't even have to be that definitive. He's equal. It's not a negative. You know, we could say it that way. I think Keegan, James was talking about yesterday, is a much better rebounder. I think the defense is a little closer than we all would have hoped and we probably would have liked. And I think Jeremy Grant is a better creator offensively. He can score at all three levels. He can handle the ball. He can finish. He gets to the line.
Mm-hmm.
So today, I think he's better. One of the reasons why I wouldn't have made the deal was, like you had mentioned, you're giving up your issue is depth, and you're giving up so many people for one person that maybe even if you want to agree with me, it's not like Jeremy Grant is leaps and bounds better than Keegan Murray. They're about the same player with a couple of differences here and there. I'm not giving up three players for that. You know what I mean? Then you have the contract situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't have done the deal, but I also wouldn't have dismissed it as quick as everybody else did. And when I'm thinking about the player for player swap, I think Jeremy's a little better than Keegan Murray today. So that's where that came from.
I still don't like it. But I what I really hate is that's where we are. Mm. Now let's trade three guys, including, I know Keegan's production this year is a little frustrating, and I think part of the reason it's a little frustrating is our own expectations. Mm-hmm. I know he's 24.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's an older young player,
yeah.
Right? He's an older, less tenured player. I mean, we're talking 3 years in the league. I think Keegan Murray still has all of the tools to be very, very good. Like, very, very good. And I don't want to see that materialize elsewhere.
Mm.
I get my jokes off, and they're struggling, which is just something I was just dead wrong about this year. I think Tyrese is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's an incredible point guard. I think he's a great basketball player. I hate watching him emerge like this outside of Sacramento. It was for the best. I'm not questioning that. Like, we get to watch Domantas Sabonis every night. Like, he is a star,
mm-hmm.
a stud. I don't want to watch Keegan become that elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think he can. Maybe not to the level Tyrese is. But I thought Keegan could wind up being one of the better two-way players in the entire league.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think Keegan Murray can be one of the better two-way players in the entire league. I don't know why it's been such a struggle this year to find his shot and his footing a little bit. I do think he's a little more aggressive offensively than he has been, like, as a whole. Mm-hmm. You always point out that's how averages work. There are sometimes where he shoots 6. There's sometimes where he shoots 14, 15. But I think he's a lot closer to the 14 or 15 on a night-to-night basis than he is the 6. Mm-hmm. I wish there was a stat that I could look up that would tell me actually how many times he's shooting per game. But I'm in the midst of a deep conversation with you right now, so I'm not going to look that up. But you get what I'm saying. Yeah. I still think Keegan can be the guy, and you're going to have to move me, like, really, really move me in any sort of trade proposal that involves Keegan Murray.
I feel the same way. I don't feel
history says otherwise.
Well, no. Well, we talk.
I mean,
about...
Christina Warner legitimately texted me, said, "Could you tell your boy to stop trading Keegan Murray?"
To trade Keegan Murray, number one, it's got to be somebody that I think is better than Keegan Murray for sure. And it's going to have to be one of them, one, like a perennial all-star guy. Like I mentioned yesterday, Brandon Ingram, you know, he's an all-star. Like we're talking about those kind of guys. I don't see it for a guy, even like Jeremy Grant, and now your contract comes into play. Like I'm not willing to take on everything that comes with Jeremy Grant for Keegan Murray. I'm not going to do that. Cam Johnson, Keegan Murray, they're about the same player. Like there's no need for me to make that deal. You know, yeah. I need to be upgrading in a major way. Now, where I think a lot of people here in Sacramento and myself kind of part ways with how we see Keegan Murray is I do think there are some upgrades for Keegan Murray. Like I think Keegan is good and I like him how he is. Like I like him as fourth, fifth option. You know, he's going to average 13, 14 points per game, maybe 15. Sometimes if you get him the ball enough, he's got 25 in a game or something like that. I don't see Keegan as if all these players left and it was him and De'Aaron, we'd be good because Keegan is that dude. He's a psychic. I don't think he's that type of player. He's got too many deficiencies in his offensive game that I don't think are going to change. That I don't see him in that light. But that doesn't mean I don't like him for his role right now. I think he's great in his role right now as the Kings. I love this role for him. I liked going to get somebody like DeMar so you could take a little bit of pressure off him on the offensive end so he can just be, you know, catch and shoot slash type guy. Like, I don't really want him to be a creator because I don't think that's a strong suit for him.
Let's get to our man Lewis here, the Elk Grove Field Talk Line, 916-909-1320. What's up, Lewis?
Oh, man. Hey, fellas. Happy holidays to y'all, man. And you know what I mean? It's been a wonderful year, all of that. Let me get right to it. Wow, Kenny, you sort of really hit on some stuff there. I love what you were just saying.
Thank you, Lewis. It's the truth.
You know what I mean? I mean, Keegan, he's a great young man. He's a good shooter, all of those things. But truth of the matter is nope, he's not maybe what we thought he was, but he is that lockdown defender. So if he's going to be, you know, that 3-and-D, and then he'll also, you know, flush a basket for you when you need it, I'm right there with it. And every team needs that, and so I'm right there for that. What I really called about was to just sort of say what – you know, I don't understand what Fox is talking about. I would think he's smarter than to say, hey, I want to be here, but I want to win. I would think he's smarter than that, you know what I mean? And so it's a little disappointing coming off of him, you know, choosing not to take a max deal that we offered to him, right? So I'm just like, and so really I just kind of want to, you know, say to my, I just want to, you know, sort of just express that, like, you know, De'Aaron, I don't feel like that's cool. You know, if you listening, no, that's not the right thing to be doing. Why can't we win, right? Why can't this team win, right? Why can't this team win? When you look at it on paper, we should be winning. So it's just a little weird to me to say we can't win here when on paper we're winning.
Thank you, Lewis.
Lewis, call it more often, man. I enjoy when Lewis calls it, man. I guess Rock today too. He can't be guilty. Now look, we let him go for like 3-4 minutes.
Well,
he can't call back talking about why you guys gotta let me talk more.
I play off of the host. The great in the thing chat. Look like you guys were enjoying what Lewis had to say.
The great thing, there's so much great stuff there from Lewis. The great part was he came in, made a strong point, and then said, what I really called for.
Yeah, Chad does look like they were loving the call. So
that one broke me when he said that, man. He said what I really called for was.
So
shout out to my man Tony. Hey, put it on a shirt, RBOS.
There it is, real brothers in Sacramento.
The
Lewis.
Small O too, by the way.
Yeah, the small O is clutch.
Yeah.
Lewis, whether De'Aaron makes All NBA or not. It was not financially responsible for him to sign a contract extension last offseason. Mm-hmm. If he makes All-NBA, he signs a massive, massive, massive contract extension this offseason. If he doesn't, he still signs a significantly bigger contract than he would have last year. Mm. It was the first year he was eligible. The Sacramento Kings, and this is why I hate the way that this was covered, both by Draymond, was it Andre Iguodala in his podcast?
Yeah, that was bad. Him and
Iggy knows better. Like, Turner, this was your job for years. Like, you know better. Mm-hmm. You don't sign the contract extension because you get a larger one the next year. Mm-hmm. It's a simple finance game. If I told every single one of you, hey, we're offering you a contract to be a part of the Chatty House. It's Kenny Caraway money. It's 3 years, $100 million.
Kenny Caraway money.
But you know, as a Chatty House member, if you hit all Chatty House next year, you get you get 5 years, $500 million. And even if you don't, you get 4 years, $175 million. Mm-hmm. It's simple math. It's no different. Remove your Kings jersey and your feelings. It's the same exact situation that we were cussing Tim Bontemps out about last year when he was rallying for the Cleveland Cavaliers to trade Donovan Mitchell. Mm-hmm. It made no sense for Donovan Mitchell to sign a contract extension last year. Yeah. What did he do this offseason? He signed a massive contract extension.
Yeah.
Hopefully De'Aaron does the same thing.
I hope he does too. I think he will. I think he'll stay in Sacramento. I think they'll figure this out. I also think that the Kings are going to get to the playoffs this year. Like how I feel about the Kings and, you know, what they could be. Do I think they're winning 52 games? No, not necessarily, but I still think they're a playoff team. I think they're a top six team, and I think they'll figure some stuff out with this season. And with that being said, I think it'll be enough to show De'Aaron Fox how serious they are about potentially winning and feel better about what's going on, and he'll stay.
Let's talk to Troy here. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line 916-909-1320. What's up, Troy?
What's going on, fellas? Merry Christmas, happy holidays.
Yes, sir.
Merry Christmas, my guy.
Yes, indeed. I just want to throw it real quick. I got a great Doug Christie story, man. About 10 years ago, I worked in a senior citizen home as a cook. I won a radio contest on that no-name radio show that was back in the dead days. And Doug Christie came to the place, man, and he bought food. He was so loving to these old people, man. He signed autographs. It was when his daughter was first pregnant. She signed autographs. They took pictures and everything. And it just hit me a little while ago, man. That man, he touched a lot of people that day. And I just want to, if he's listening, if he's out there, man, I just want to tell him thank you. Even though it was 10 years ago, it still fills my heart with joy just to think about the love and the passion, the compassion that he showed. So, Doug, thank you, brother.
Man, that's good stuff, Troy. That's the type of person Doug is.
Yeah.
He said his daughter, right?
I think
Troy's daughter. Does Doug have a daughter?
I don't think he does. But maybe he was talking about his own.
That's what I think he was talking about. I was trying to think, is Doug got a daughter? I don't think he does.
Wow.
I don't know. But hey. DC a good dude, man. Oh, absolutely. Very, very good dude.
Absolutely. DC, if he was still playing, he'd be in my prize picks lineup.
Go ahead, get your stuff up.
Well, you know, I was going to say
DC's the, like, you talk about the player the Kings need, it's Doug Christie.
No, facts.
It's literally Doug Christie the player.
He'd be
That's perfect. The guy. Put the jersey on from the commercial, get the seaweed bath, and get out there for 15.
He would be perfect. Man, if we could find
legitimately the exact player the Sacramento Kings need.
100%. And like I said, if he was playing, he'd be in my lineup for, like, some steals or rebounds, even mm-hmm. points in a certain degree. But mm-hmm. I got my Prize Picks lineup ready to go. Beam Money is ready to go.
Hold up. Just for fun. Man, this screen is delayed. God damn it.
Get straight cash, homie. Hey, hey, by the way.
System's on vacation.
By the way, we haven't said it, but prayers up, Randy Moss, man. Come on, man.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, prayers up, Randy Moss,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big ups to him, man. But yes, Prize Picks, Bean Money, ready to go down today as the Kings take on the Lakers. And, you know, we've talked a lot about De'Aaron Fox in the last 24 hours or so. His more or less is at 24 and a half. De'Aaron going to have 30 tonight. De'Aaron having 30 tonight. I'm taking more on that.
Against the Lakers. Hold up. Let's go back here. Mm-hmm. Just real quick. October 26th, De'Aaron Fox, 28. Okay.
He getting 30 tonight.
Okay.
More on 24 and a half. Then you got Malik Monk, and I went to the Demon. It's Demon time. It's Demon time. They've got Malik at 3.5 three-pointers made. I went more. Malik going to be cooking
tonight.
Malik Monk,
2-7 the last time they played the Lakers.
He going to be cooking tonight. I went Demon time more with Malik Monk. And then, you know, we always talk about how Anthony Davis, well, nothing left to do but Cole, don't mess my tatty. You know, that's what we always talk about. Hey, how about you guys work together on this lineup, huh? How about that? Domantas Sabonis, Anthony Davis, combined rebounds, 25 and a half. Give me more on that. Those are two of the best rebounders in the game. More than 25 and a half rebounds. And then, you know, I got tired of going more, and I saw a little Max Christie there with 7.5 points. Give me less. Give me less. Sorry, Max. Give me less. De'Aaron Fox, 24 and a half points. Give me more. Malik Monk, Demon
Did
time.
You hit the stop? Did you hit the Demon for De'Aaron?
No. No, but I do think he's going to have 30. What's the Demon, like 29 and a half?
29 and a half.
Yeah, I do think he's going to have 30, but I played it safe. Played it safe.
All right, I hit the more button because I ain't a bitch. So, whatever.
Malik Monk, more than 3.5 three-pointers. Domantas Sabonis and Anthony Davis combining for more than 25 and a half points. And sorry, little Max Christie, if you're listening over at the Sawyer right now, you're going to have less than 7.5 points. That's being money for your boy.
What AD
Prize
have?
Picks. Shout out to my people over at Prize Picks. When you put in that code KIFM, that promo code, it'll get you $50 with your first $5 lineup. You must be present in certain states, though. PrizePicks.com is where you need to go for more information. Run your game. We cooking. Last time we had Bean Money, it got voided out because Christian Brown got hurt. Or Ryan Brown, one of the two.
Both of them. That was funny. It was so stupid that I corrected you, too, because we were on KSFM. Literally no one
who
cares.
I know Ryan Braun. Who was Ryan Brown?
I don't know. Because it's Christian Brown, right?
Yeah.
They got LeBron at 30 points and rebounds tonight.
I looked at LeBron's points.
He had 32, 14, and 10 the last time they played.
I looked at LeBron's point total, and I wanted to go less, but it's at 22 and a half. I said, I'm not going to do that, but I want to go less. So on, you combine on, that. On with, the, you said points and rebounds is yeah, what that is, right?
Yeah.
So about 21 points, 8 rebounds or so. That's not even getting it. You might want to consider going less. I stayed away.
Really? Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man.
I don't know, though. I don't know. I stayed away.
Oh, man. I don't know what to do. Oh, man, let's go to commercial. You'll hear our conversation with Ice Cube when D-Lo and KC return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Shout out to our people over at Sky River Casino. Great place to spend the holidays because that's what people do. Casino going to be jumping.
It is.
That's going
to
be
it
jumping.
It is, man. Shout out to their New Year's Eve extravaganza. It's always a good time.
Absolutely, absolutely. We were just going over Prize Picks a couple of minutes ago, and this is the first time.
What kind of money is it?
What's that?
What kind of money is it? Prize Picks?
Christmas money?
No.
Beam money. Are you happy?
I am. Clip that.
Don't. Absolutely do not. Kings and Lakers for the first time since October 26th. So we were looking over some of the numbers. This was, again, one of them games. This was a 131-127 loss. that the Sacramento Kings experienced. Trey Lyles played in this one. It doesn't look like he's going to play tonight. He was downgraded to questionable after thinking he was going to be able to go today because he experienced some soreness coming out of shoot-around. Sean Cunningham reported earlier. Kevin Huerter, Domantas Sabonis, and Keegan Murray all expected to play. We heard from Keegan Murray. He said he was expected to play. All of those guys finished with double digits. As a matter of fact, Amar, Domas, and De'Aaron all finished with 20-plus points. It was Domas leading the way with a triple-double, 29, 12, and 10. De'Aaron, low-key, double-double, 28 and 10. DeMar DeRozan had 23 points in that one. Unfortunately, Anthony Davis hit 1-3, and it was a killer. It was one of those ones that I think it was Domas guarding him had a visible reaction to. He looked like, you've got to be kidding me. An incredibly contested shot on his part, and just a much like Ant-Man, it was a hell of a shot by Anthony Davis.
You said that was late game, only three-pointer he made. Where did I hear that before? Oh, we've been talking about this all week.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, those are frustrating situations, man. Because
those are big-time players.
Who
got one shot to hit
shots, man. And yep. You know, you just, in the case of the Anthony Davis shot, that's the shot I wanted. LeBron couldn't be stopped. Double him in the post. Don't let him get the shot off. Get it to Anthony Davis. Let him shoot a three. If he hits it.
A contested three.
If he hits it, you tip your hat. I'm with that. The Jokic one was very, very frustrating.
Yeah.
Because you were up two. And like I said,
was no one within 10 feet of him.
No, and it was miscommunication. It was not understanding time and possession. Well, I shouldn't say that. I don't know what they're – maybe the coaches told him, like, that's how we're defending that. But I would have just said, all right, well, there are no threes that are going up right now. You can tie the game. You can't put me down one.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that was just easy. That was shooting fish in a barrel.
And that was the Kings' second straight loss to start the season. Of course, they won the next two, and this is the one that Kings fans need. This is the one, another one that the Sacramento Kings need. And it just feels like that is an ongoing theme here with it's just an ongoing theme with what's been a frustrating season to start. But, and I don't mean to, you just try to present another side of this equation.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucks roster did not change.
Nope.
They turned it around after, I can't remember what the number was. I think it was 3-8 or 2-8. Mm-hmm. And they turned it around where they're 14-11 now. They, you know, you might not care about it, but they won the NBA Cup. And they have reason to feel good about where they are. Chris Middleton returned, kind of finding his way in the groove of everything. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't a massive trade. They didn't blow anything up. Dame said, I think it was Dame, or maybe it was Giannis. One of the two stars said the other day, we're not now the team we were at the beginning of the year. Like, we had to figure some things out. We had to, you know, settle in as a squad, and we've been able to do that. We still have things that we need to do better. Think whichever one of the two was. We still have a lot of things that we have to get better at, but we're happy with the direction that we're moving in. There's one team to look at if you're Sacramento or if you're Mike Brown. Mm-hmm. It's Doc, and it's the Milwaukee Bucks. Again, and I point them out because it wasn't a trade.
Right.
They figured it out to a certain degree, and I think they're back to being contenders in the East. Now that I see them playing the way that they are, I believe in Giannis and Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, that's kind of where you look for inspiration if you're Mike Brown in Sacramento.
And I think this Kings team is capable. I just really do. I think they're capable. And, you know, we've all gone back and forth about, you know, the holes and the deficiencies that they have on this roster. And I don't think anybody who said that is necessarily wrong. But I'm looking at what they do have on the roster. And they have enough on the roster to be a better team.
They do.
You know? And I think they can turn it around if they just, you know, sharpen a couple things up. The funny thing is, you look at all the metrics, and all the metrics say they should have a better record.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you've got to You've got to fix the only metric that matters, and that's the win-loss column. And, you know, what a better way than start tonight? You know, I was thinking about, you know, Kings, Lakers, Golden 1 Center, how I felt about that, and just like, oh, man, like, I don't feel good. I don't feel confident going into this game because of the way the Kings have been playing.
Understandable.
And, you know, it took me back to, I was like, I wonder what the crowd's going to feel like or whatever. It took me back to, did we call this, I know people talk about puke guy, but Kings Lakers, was this the worst game in the history of the Golden 1 Center? You were there that night, weren't you?
The takeover?
The takeover, the collapse slash takeover. Remember the Kings were up like 20, 21, and they ended up losing by like 15?
It was bad. Yeah, it was bad. And that was bad.
And people weren't even angry. They were. We talked about it the next day on the show. They weren't necessarily angry. They were just hurt. They were like, at the time, it was like, this team ain't going to be good no more. This was before Beam Team 1. And they were just hurt that this is what we're doing.
It felt like the lowest of the low.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt like the lowest.
And that was the first time. Not funny. It's the first time Alvin told us.
Well, we're not going to quit. We're not going to quit.